You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download. Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, here's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, it is Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. We are the iCouple, and we're filling in for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, huge news. The Nets, LaMarcus Aldridge, perennial all-star, was toward the end of his career, obviously, but retired just today in a statement he released on Twitter because of an irregular heartbeat. And first of all, man, praise God that that was found out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I mean, I have nothing but support for him. And this is similar. Remember, Rob, the Caris LeVert trade with the Nets, when that's what brought him James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
That is where the physical is where they found out LeVert had some health issues.
Right.
And that could have saved his life. So, I guess if you're looking at it from a basketball standpoint, Rob, the fortunate thing, this is secondary, obviously, to just his general health. But the good thing, at least we can say, he had his full career. You know, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge played a full NBA career, left his mark, you know, made several All-Star teams. This is in his second or third year where he really didn't get to fulfill his basketball promise and potential. He was able to do that, thankfully, and it's still unfortunate, but, you know, you just keep him and his family in your prayers.
Absolutely, and health is number one. We know that, Chris.
Right.
Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter. People, can't you play out the season? No, you can't play out the season.
Right. You know, Rob, like some people, it could have been Kevin Durant.
Right.
Or some other great player. I don't want to throw out a name, but you know what I mean? And
right.
You still got to put your health ahead of this.
I'm sorry. I know, you know, people think that athletes can do whatever they want. No, he's smart. Now we know why he didn't play, okay? And it wasn't COVID related. Remember, they put that out there,
right.
Chris.
Right.
So it was like, why is he not playing? That was interesting, you know, and we were trying to figure it out. And now we know. And I'm with you. He had a great run, LaMarcus.
He really did.
He really did.
He won't be a Hall of Famer, you know, but he had a great career. I think 7-time All-Star.
Yeah, he was a guy who we all know played really, really well, and it's a shame that it had to end. He had a chance to win a championship, maybe, right, Chris? Which could have been his final year, but it's not going to happen. And I'm sure he was happy he got the opportunity. But once you get a scare like that, and you know you have a real issue. You just retire, and I bet you anyway, the Nets will probably still either A, welcome him around, Chris, and then probably if they do win, give him a championship ring.
I was gonna say, and it all depends on him. He's got a family, so he may just want to, you know, he probably his family. I would guess. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, right?
It's still in San Antonio. He may just want to go back and be with them. But I hear you. Like, you know, we know Rob, the camaraderie is a big part of sports with your teammates. And I'm sure there's a part of him that would like to stay around the team and hang around and be with them in the playoffs. And, you know, if they win a ring, I think it'd be great if they gave him a ring.
Because you know what?
It won't count on his record, you know, but I think that'd be great.
We saw that with David Price with the Dodgers, Chris,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
He opted
That's
out
right.
because of COVID. What happened? The Dodgers finally won a World Series after 32 years. And David Price is a member of the team, even though he didn't play one inning. He got a ring, and then he donated it to the Players Alliance, which was even classier. You know what I mean? But absolutely, he did get a ring from the Dodgers. So I'm just saying it could happen.
Do you what do you think? How do you think this impacts the Nets' chances, you know, of winning this championship?
I'm not trying to poo-poo his career or his impact, but it's about those three big horses, Chris. Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. Those are the guys that are ultimately going to get it won for them, you know? And
right,
LaMarcus Aldridge would have been a nice addition, but he's not going to be the X factor of whether they win or not.
I agree. I mean, when he joined the team, it was gravy. It was right, icing on the cake. And
yep.
I've
the Nets still
I've
have biscuits even without all that gravy.
Right,
they still
right,
got biscuits.
Right. I was told they were actually a bit surprised because he wanted to play for them. You know, it was like, I mean, they had just signed Blake, so they're thinking, man, I mean, the cupboard is full. The cupboard's overflowing. And then he wanted to play with them. He's close with DeAndre Jordan. You know, they both are from Texas. And so I think that played a part in him ending up with the Nets. But, Rob, I agree with you. I mean, look, as we said, he was a terrific player. He was on his, you know, toward the end, he's 35.
Right.
But I don't think this impacts them. Now, he was playing center, and he's a guy that at this point had become a stretch five, you know, or a guy that had those abilities. He hit some threes with them. And so he was good in that role for them, which would have given them a crazy unique offense. But, Rob, I also think, you know, DeAndre Jordan's minutes were gone.
Right.
When LaMarcus
and now we saw
there,
him play last night against Embiid, Chris. And Embiid had a big night. But his presence was there. You saw
absolutely,
it. You were watching.
He made him
right?
work. That's
he
all you
He made him
do.
Work. Yep. Absolutely. And that's all you got to do. You're not going to stop Joel Embiid, okay? So let's not be ridiculous. And he's going to get his, and Ben Simmons is going to get his. But it's about the Nets' big three. And if they get theirs, you know what I mean? Will that add
absolutely,
up more than their two big guys? So
right,
I think
right,
that's where it's all about when you talk about the Nets.
Yeah, so they should be fine on the court. But prayers out to LaMarcus Aldridge and his family. Let's stick with the NBA, Rob. Steph Curry, I mean, I don't know if you saw last night, but man, this dude is on a tear. He dropped another 42 last night, 8 dimes to go with it.
Did they win?
Yeah, they blew out.
No, I'm just kidding.
They won by almost 40.
I'm just kidding.
It was Oklahoma City, so. But 53 tonight before. He's averaged 40 points this month, 40.7 rebounds, surprisingly, too. 57% shooting. Here's what I want to throw, and we talked about this, Rob. Remember when Brian Windhorst of ESPN put out a couple of weeks ago that LeBron's already recruiting Steph to the Lakers? And we talked about it immediately, and it was like, and I was on board with you, like, there's no reason for him to leave. You know, he's won his rings. His legacy is set, so on and so forth. But I got to be honest, Rob, as time, and it's obviously not a lot of time. I mean, just we're talking about a few weeks. But as time goes on, the thought of Steph leaving Golden State, to me, becomes less and less egregious. Like, I really am starting to think, you know, depending on how things work out, I'm starting to think it might not be a bad move for him. And here's, I'll explain my point, and then I know you got a viewpoint on this. He is still clearly at the top of his game. If they were winning more, and they're 26-21 when he's healthy. They're 1-7 without him. So he's balling. 31 points a game or 30.7. I mean, he's doing his thing.
But
he's
there's
clearly
a chance they
still,
won't make the playoffs. I mean, that's just,
right.
There is
but it's
chance.
Obviously not him, because when he's on the floor, their record is actually pretty strong. But he is still at the top of his game. Some would argue he's playing better than ever. I won't go that far because, to your point, they're not winning even when he's playing, and they're winning at a decent clip, not like they used to.
Right.
But he's averaging, you know, he's getting double and triple teamed at times even, and so he's doing it with not nearly the help he's had before. So that's the argument for him playing better. But that, bottom line, he's still playing really well, still in his prime. If I'm Steph and he's under contract for next year, I'm coming back to Golden State next year. I would think about not signing an extension this summer and go back next year. You know he's got a bond ride with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. I mean, they've done great things together. And so you want to play with them. But if the team struggles, maybe Klay's not what he used to be. Maybe Draymond's really starting to show his age. And they're a seventh or eighth seed even with those guys. They go out in the first round, but Steph's still clearly clicking at the top of his game. Then my thinking is he doesn't have to leave. He doesn't have to go get rings. But I won't fault him if he says, you know what? The last 5 years of my career or whatever, I want to compete for championships. I've been competing for championships the bulk of my career, and I don't want to just be mediocre. As a team, I want to be somewhere where we have a chance to win. Not because I need more rings, but I'm competitive. And I wouldn't fault him for that. You can't in this era where everybody's bouncing around, even the best players. And so, look, if they come back next year and Klay's playing great, Dre's playing great, and they're a third or fourth seed, they go to the second round, they get beat maybe by the Lakers or Clippers in a tough series, but they look like we're right there. We can win another ring, you know, next year or the year after, add a piece or two, then I'm fine, stay. But I think just based on your individual competitiveness, just based on I still want to win championships, I'm starting to see, Rob, an opening for him to maybe leave.
I'm totally in disagreement with you. I think it would be a colossal mistake for Steph Curry to leave Golden State and the legacy that he's built. I just don't think he should wear anybody else's uniform. I think he could be in a class like a Derek Jeter, who played 20 years for the Yankees, never put on another team's uniform. Jeter won 5 championships. He's won 3. He's right. Won 3. He had a great run. They went to 5 straight NBA finals. You know, he doesn't need to do any more than he's already done. And I'm not saying, like, you know, to just play the string out and not try to win. But imagine going somewhere else and not winning. It's not a guarantee that if you go somewhere else, you're going to win. Michael Jordan never should have wore a Washington Wizards uniform, Chris. He never should have. And he did, and he never won, and he went, and he didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't like that idea. I think his legacy's set. Steph should embrace what he has. If I'm a Warriors fan, I would be bothered by it. I would really be bothered that this wasn't enough, that for most players in a great career to win, you know, 2 MVPs and a unanimous MVP and to win 3 championships and go to the finals 5 years in a row, that wasn't enough. That somehow he would feel empty and would need some other accomplishment to feel good about what he's done. Most people, Chris, could call what he's done already a career and be way happy. And you do it, and they do have a bond with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and the idea that those three guys. He wants greener pastures, that he's outgrown this and he wants to move on. I think the testament would be if the band stayed together and Steph Curry somehow, some way could eke out one more, you know what I mean, to cap off their career there
at
Golden
State.
That'd
be better. Yeah.
I think that's a better story to me.
Let's throw it out to you guys. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in on this topic as we continue it. How would you feel about Steph Curry leaving the Warriors? Should it be something he at least considers? Rob, see, I'll say this, because I don't think, like, you painted it as a Steph leaving would be like, I'm not satisfied. I'm still lacking something. I don't think it has to be that way. Like, because it's not just playing for legacy. Like, guys play for competition. Guys play to win in the moment. I mean, Tom Brady's a great example of that. He could just relax. Oh, I got my legacy. I'm set. But he wants to compete in the moment. And that's what I'm talking about with Steph. you're right. I don't think he feels a need that I need more rings. And I don't know that I don't know this, but I think it's possible if he went on another, got two or three more, then you start moving him up the rankings. But maybe a few more rings don't even move him past the guys that are ahead of him in the all-time rankings. So it's not even about that to me. It's just about the competition. I'm still at the top of my game. I want to win more rings. And I think, Rob, in this era, Durant's been on three teams. LeBron's been on three teams or four teams in three different cities. You know, they're the best players of this generation, and they hopped all over the place, and it's not hurting their legacy. So yeah, I
disagree. I think that there's some people look at Durant, and he'll never fully get the credit he deserves and as a great player. And we've heard some former NBA greats who have knocked Durant for moving around or joining the Warriors. And I think, you know, obviously the rest of his career has to be written, Chris, but there are people who frowned upon that and, you know, don't give him full credit. So I don't think there's anything to gain for Steph Curry. I think he's got a wonderful legacy at Golden State. They all adore him and love him. And I think he should be like Jeter and stick with his team until the very end and never wear another team's uniform. That's just me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and there, look, there's a case obviously to be made for that, and I see the merit in that. And if he decides to stay, more power to him. And to your point, you know, they can try to build toward another championship. But I just got to admit, I'm really starting to feel like, and I think too, Robin, I threw this out. Let's say Brooklyn runs through the league this year.
Right.
You know, let's say it all works out. They lose one playoff game in the East, maybe win the finals in four or five, and maybe do it a similar thing next year. Like, they become Golden State, right? They become that next Golden State. Then you're going to have guys, Rob. I don't know where. I mean, obviously the Lakers, but who knows if LeBron will still even be at the top of his game at that point. But there will be teams, maybe Milwaukee, and that Steph could go to and say, you know what? This is ridiculous. Like, we got to compete. Somebody's got to compete.
I hear you,
with
but
Brooklyn,
you know? I understand that, but I'm not sure if it's Steph. Chris, we got a couple people want to chime in.
All right.
You ready for that?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Hank in Virginia, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Hank?
Gentlemen, so glad to hear you guys early in the day.
Thank you.
I'll be honest with you, man, the NBA is no free agents go to, like, Indiana. They don't go to Memphis. They don't go to Portland. They don't. So why don't we just contract it to 18 since everybody wants to join up with the best players anyway, right? I mean, seriously, if that's what
they're actually talking about expanding.
I hear you. But we can't add any more teams, right?
But you know they're talking about that, Rob.
Right.
But thanks. I mean, am I wrong?
No, Hank. But hold on. I'm gonna say a little something, Hank. Giannis stayed in Milwaukee.
Give him credit for that. I love that move, Chris.
Westbrook stayed in Oklahoma, as did Paul George. Remember, Paul George stayed in Oklahoma. Aldridge went to San Antonio. Now they were a great team, so maybe that's a little different. But he went to San Antonio.
Which is a small
Dame
market.
Dame Dollar, you know this, Rob. Damian Lillard wants to stay in Portland. So I think Rob, you said it earlier. It's only a few guys.
Right. Hank, thanks for the call. Appreciate
LeBron,
it. Right. It's
Kawhi,
not as many.
KD,
right.
Kyrie, you know, it's not everybody.
Will in Texas, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What you got, Will?
Hey, guys. Big fan, man. Big fan of the Odd Couple.
Thank you.
Just want to chime in here with, you know what? I think Steph shouldn't be chasing rings. He's got plenty of them, but if he wanted to make a move to a good team that's a, you know, more of a smaller franchise and probably could get a ring, it'd be something like San Antonio. San Antonio needs a definitely good point guard, and I think he'd be a great fit there with Popovich.
I think, Rob, if he
thanks
moved,
for the call, Will.
I would. If he moved, I would really only do it if I was going to a team that was right there. And I knew I would be the guy to help get them over the hump. I wouldn't go to just another good team. He's already
No.
That.
You got to do something right. It'd have to be to push them over the top.
Right.
One last one, Chris. Let's squeeze in. Steven in New York. You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Steven?
Steven.
All right. Let's do Nate.
All right.
Nate right. in Texas. Nate,
hey,
you're on the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. You were the last show I listened to yesterday and the first one I listened to this morning. It's
wow.
a real treat.
You got a blessed life, man.
Thank you
I
so
know.
Much.
It's a real treat. So I just, Rob, I think you hit the nail on the head last night on the Odd Couple. He's already won some titles at Golden State. I think it's best for him to stay there. You know, if he hadn't won any titles with them and he wanted to go get a title somewhere else, I'm okay with that. But I love him staying in Golden State and being true to that organization. You just don't see it enough these days.
It's true. And they love him there. He's making, Chris, what's he making, $40 million, $50 million a year
yeah,
or something?
He'll be making more, yeah, no doubt.
Right. I mean, what? And he's the king of that city, right?
I will say
he helped
this,
build
right.
that new arena in San Francisco.
And, you know, yeah, that wasn't a big – they weren't a great franchise. You know,
they hadn't won in 40 years. Right,
yeah.
right.
But here's the – look, he would – I imagine Golden State fans would be down on him for a little while, you know. Yeah. But, you know, it will wear off, and when he retired or even late in his career when he went back, it would be all love. But, all right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker, filling in for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Our good friend Howard Beck from Sports Illustrated will join us in a few minutes. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Rob Parker. We are the Odd Couple, and we're filling in for Dan on the Dan Patrick Show. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Now, get ready, folks. The fight of a lifetime with Triller Fight Club is coming up. Ben Askren, the former Bellator and ONE Championship champion, is one of the headliners of a great night of fights from Atlanta. April 17th, that's this Saturday. It's on pay-per-view. And beyond the fighting, it's going to be an iconic music event because they've got Justin Bieber, Diplo, Doja Cat, and the debut of the supergroup Mount Westmore featuring Snoop Dogg, some of the icons of hip-hop. Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40. Come on, you need, not want, you need to get in on this action. It's this Saturday, April 17th, 9 Eastern, only on pay-per-view. Order the fight now at TrillerFightClub.com. That's a super group for you, Rob.
Big time, no doubt. It sounds like it's going to be something, and people will be hyped. So much, you know, it's more than just a fight, Chris. You know what I mean? You got all the entertainment, all the other stuff around it. It's an event.
Rob, did you hear Snoop Dogg was hilarious when he called the Jake Paul Nate Robinson fight? And I felt for Nate. I mean, that wasn't funny, but Snoop Dogg's commentary was hilarious. And so, yeah, Rob's a little, I've been told, a little birdie whispered in my ear, Rob's not down with Mount Westmore. He's down with Motown.
Motown, you already know it. Come on now. I spent 20 years in that city. I love Detroit.
So
big
you
time.
Got Eminem and Royce da 5'9". That's your Mount.
Yes. Matter of fact, I had a local sports show on local TV in Detroit, Chris, called Sports Rap, R-A-P. It was sports and hip hop, right?
Right.
And Royce da 5'9", he performed on our show. Can you believe
what?
That? Yes.
Now was Chris, he out already or
he wasn't that big. He was out, but he wasn't as big as he got. But he came on and when we were doing that show.
So he came into the studio and y'all threw on a beat and
no, we would have a rapper. I did the show with Ron Rice, who used to play for the Detroit Lions, and Reggie Reg was a big DJ in radio DJ in Detroit. Okay. And these guys would come in and we would give them the last 4 minutes, Chris, to perform on the show.
Wow.
And when I knew the show was a hit was because all the rappers wanted to be on. You know, if it's corny, you know, they would
right,
be like,
right,
I'm not
right,
going
right,
on that.
Right.
Yeah, so we had.
Oh, that's hot.
Is that unbelievable?
That is cool. Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, well, we're going to welcome in our next guest. He's a Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Good friend of both of ours. We go way back in the business. Howard Beck. Howard, what's
Howard.
Up, man?
Howard.
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm not used to talking to you this time of day.
Hey, we're all over. I know you're like, what? They're here too?
Unbelievable.
I'm used to talking to them at night, but so Howard, look, the news of the day, obviously LaMarcus Aldridge, we all support his decision. It's just very unfortunate, but at least he's, you know, healthy. Do you think this impacts the Nets, you know, march for a championship?
On some level, yes. I know, you know, people were all over the map about, you know, was it unfair they could get Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge on buyouts? No, those guys are washed. It doesn't make a difference. You know, my view of it has been all along, obviously they weren't getting the all-star version of LaMarcus Aldridge. It's been a couple of years, but, you know, he did make the all-star team as recently as 2 years ago in 2019. Right. It's not that they were getting another all-star. It's that they were getting a steady hand, an experienced veteran player who's seen it all, done it all, who still has a skill set, who can still bang with the bigs, who can still hit mid-range shots, who can rebound a little and provide some stability, and in a front court that needed some reinforcements in the wake of the Harden trade back in January when they gave up Jared Allen. And he's not that. He's not Jared Allen. But anybody they could get to fortify their front court, especially when you figure they're eventually probably going to have to go through the team that they played last night, the Sixers and Joel Embiid, yeah, I think he matters. And I think now losing him to retirement suddenly and unexpectedly will potentially matter. Now, look, there's a number of different ways to deal with a guy like Joel Embiid. No one's stopping Joel Embiid. That's a given. But the more experienced physical bigs you have around to deal with guys like him when necessary, the better off you are. So, they didn't just lose an all-star. No. They have, when healthy, the most potent three-star lineup in the league,
right,
given. But that doesn't mean it doesn't matter that you've lost this guy.
Let me. Last night you talked about Philadelphia, and Chris and I were anticipating and wanted to really see that game, and I wound up watching the Golden Girls rerun instead. But just the NBA, you know, with the guys sitting out and resting, and you know, not playing in these big national games, and I know it was addressed a couple years ago, but Howard, this is bad business for the NBA when guys sit out and don't play in these games. How can we get this corrected? Because last night, I think the Clippers also sat down four guys. I know they were playing the Pistons in Detroit, and they won the game anyway without their four main players. But this is a problem, I think, in the NBA. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Rob. I don't think that we can have this particular debate in a meaningful way in the midst of this particular season, because especially in the second half of this season, the league has jammed in as many games as possible to make up for the games that had to be postponed in the first half of the season when they restarted during the absolute worst part of the pandemic. And as a result, had to have a lot of postponements because of either infections or contact tracing. So what's happened now is a combination of things. We've got too many games packed in. We got guys like Jamal Murray going down. And, you know, we never know. You know, was it because of too many games and too many minutes or too? We'll never know. Right. But teams are trying to, and players are trying to be careful when they can. And let's not forget, nobody has. Kevin Durant is in his first season back from a 2-year layoff after tearing his Achilles, the worst injury in the NBA. And so it's reasonable on the second night of a back-to-back that he was going to rest. Harden was already out because of injury. So it's not like they were trying to rest two of their three stars. It just happened this way. And you could say, well, they shouldn't have played Durant the day before at Minnesota, but like, you can't tell coaches how to plan out their rotation from day to day. You know that he's going to miss one of the two games. And if you think, look, without him and Kyrie's not on the road trip, we don't want to lose a game to Minnesota of all teams in this weird day game that, you know, was postponed from the night before. I mean, there's just so many circumstances.
I know, but even before the pandemic, Howard, and I'm
of course,
it's just that we've had this before. I remember when Popovich was fined $250,000 by David Stern. You remember he sent home Ginobili and Duncan, and Tony Parker and Danny
didn't even have
Green.
Them at the game.
Do you remember that? They all went. They yeah. sent them on a plane, and that was a game against Miami. You know, it was a big national game, and this has happened. You know,
Howard, don't you think the owners will address this and the league, which obviously is
or if
owners,
I'm ESPN or TNT, I'm going to address it.
Well, so they already did address it in the wake of the incident you're talking about with the Spurs back in the day.
Right.
That feels like 1,000 years ago, by the way.
Right.
And they did create new rules in the wake of that, and I think they tightened up again even a couple of years ago about not resting guys on national games, and you know a certain amount of, or not resting multiple guys on national games, and a certain amount of notification that has to be done beforehand with the league. You know what the Spurs did was kind of thumbing their nose that time. That was like an extreme example, and it was done in a way that you know it irked the league because it also wasn't done in a respectful way where they notified people ahead of time. Anyway, they have tried to do some things, and whether they need to get back to making the rules even stricter or finding other ways to induce teams to play their guys, especially in games like that, I think that's a question they can address after the season perhaps. But I think as long as you have, you know, 3 games and 4 nights, which they're not usually doing anymore, and 4 and 5 and 5 and 7 and all those situations, they eliminated all of that through just smarter schedule creation over the last several years. They really optimized the schedule. And so it decreased the need or perceived need for teams to do stuff like this. And that's what you do. You try to eliminate the circumstances that cause teams to need to rest guys in the first place. That's the best way. And then the rest of it on the discipline side, there are some things already in place. Like I say, I just don't know that you can judge anything based on what's happening this season.
Howard, with the MVP race, I think this is one of the strangest MVP races ever, because guys that a lot of people had near the top, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, James Harden, they're all missing a lot of games. And a lot of people had Jokic at the top already. I didn't. I had all of those three at one point. But I think they've missed too many games in my view.
Embiid's playing well,
but he still missed almost 20 games.
Okay.
Like nobody's won it missing that many games since media started voting in 1981. I think a Jokic, even though they're only a 4 seed and maybe they even fall back a little, but he still could win it. Damian Lillard's name is being mentioned because he's, you know, but they're a 6 seed. Chris Paul, who doesn't have great numbers, 16 points, 8 assists, but what he's done in Phoenix. Where are you at right now on this MVP race? Maybe you look at an Embiid, even though he's missed a lot of games, and still like him. Like, what are your thoughts?
Where am I? I'm passed out on the floor. That's where I am. Like, it's not just one of the weirdest. It is absolutely, at least in the 24 years I've been doing this, this is the strangest, most muddled, just impossible. Like I every couple of weeks, the whole thing changes because of injuries, because of circumstances. Jokic has probably the best statistical case, and the analytics guys have been saying it's Jokic for months already. But I wasn't prepared to put him there, guys, because the Nuggets early in the season were 6th, 7th in the West. I'm not taking an MVP from there. Like, I believe in the precedent. In the last 40 years, there have been only 2 players, Russell Westbrook and Moses Malone, way back when, who won MVP outside of being in the top 3 in their conference and with a sub-50 wins or the equivalent in a shortened season, right? So you have that factor, that precedent, which I think matters a lot. The other precedent is the one that you already alluded to, games played. No one's won it with less than 70%. Going back to Bill Walton, that was a player vote. But since the media started voting, there hasn't been anybody below, I think, 78% of games. And you already have guys like LeBron and Embiid who have already, you know, or will be soon dropping below that threshold.
Right.
So that's really tough. Giannis has now recently missed a bunch of games.
Right.
I don't think Harden is even eligible for reasons we can discuss. And so a lot of obvious candidates are already off the board. So we get back to Jokic. So Embiid and LeBron were the front runners until they went down. Jokic, I think by getting up to 4th, although that's still outside of the top 3, I think they're still on a pace that would be the equivalent of a 50-win season in a normal season. So I'm okay with Jokic, but Now they've lost Jamal Murray, and people are going to say it's not fair to Jokic. But if the loss of Murray causes the Nuggets to fall to fifth or something, I'm going to come up against these precedents that I usually value very highly, which is right. You got to be one of the top teams. So it's going to be sometimes it's process of elimination, and now everybody's being eliminated.
Are you thinking at all about a Donovan Mitchell? I haven't really much at this point. Or maybe a Rudy Gobert.
It's funny. I always think about you guys will appreciate this because, like me, you're old. I always think about Chris Webber and those Kings teams. Like, Chris Webber was clearly the best player on those Sacramento Kings teams in the early 2000s. And there was a year they won 61 games. They were the best team in the NBA. They were, you know, several games ahead of the Lakers in the standings. And they were just awesome. And Chris Webber was the reason, the primary reason. But that was an ensemble cast. He had the best stats, but it was Webber and Divac and Bibby and Page. Look, it was everybody. And the problem for the Jazz is that it's really hard to parse out, because Donovan Mitchell doesn't have Giannis-type stats or Jokic-type stats, is there success about him, or is it about Rudy Gobert's defensive anchoring? Is this for the Suns, is it about Devin Booker, who has MVP-type stats, or is it about Chris Paul being that linchpin who pushed them over the top? Because the rest of this crew was already there last year when they weren't in the playoffs, and now they're the second-best team in the West. It's hard sometimes to parse out or to say that it's due to one guy. And so I don't know where to land on those guys. I mean, if guys keep going down left and right, we may just end up with them.
Right. With you, man. And you got something else, Rob?
Yeah, one last thing, Howard. We got about a minute here.
Yeah,
1 minute. Just where are the Clippers? I mean, I know they're under the radar. People wrote them off after they choked last year to the Nuggets, but they've put together a nice run. They're playing well in the West. Can they come out of the West?
We got 30
seconds.
And by the
way, by
the way, if Kawhi plays well enough or doesn't miss too many games, he's in that MVP discussion too. Yes, I think the Clippers can win the West, especially as screwy as the West is right now. Your guess is as good as mine, but when healthy, the Lakers are still the favorite.
Okay.
Howard. That's our man, Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Great stuff, man. We appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks.
All right. See you. Keep it locked right here. It is Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, the iCouple, in for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is the Dan Patrick Show. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Rob Parker. We are the Odd Couple, and we are filling in for Dan, wrapping up a great Dan Patrick Show. It's been a lot of fun. And we will be back on the air tonight, Rob. We play hurt. We play through injury.
That's right. Hey, we know that people want to hear the Odd Couple on here on Fox Sports Radio. So, yes, it's okay, Chris. We'll do the morning show, fill in for Dan, get rested up, you know, do what else we got to do, and then we'll be back 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on Fox Sports Radio. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's still so much stuff to talk about and get into. Their news just came down that the Seattle Seahawks, Rob, have signed Aldon Smith. It doesn't float my boat. You know, he was on that vaunted Dallas Cowboys defense last year. And obviously didn't make much of an impact.
He's okay. That Swiss cheese defense last year.
Right,
I mean, it was bad. It was bad.
It's not bad. It's a one-year deal. I mean, maybe he'll do something, but, you know, we'll see.
I get it with these teams, Chris. It's just like the Clowney deal, you know? Like, you take a flyer, right?
Right.
You never know.
Right.
Maybe the guy can resurrect his career and have an impact. So it's not like you sign him to an 8-year contract. and you're really, that's a roll in the dice, you know? This is just
one year. And like, you, it's probably, I don't know what the money terms are. I don't know if they've come out yet, but you know, it's probably not a ton of money. It's probably very incentive based, just like I'm sure Clowney's is. Talking with Howard Beck, who we just got off the phone with, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer, I'm telling you, man, this MVP race, Rob, and I'm sure Howard's a voter. I'm a voter.
No, it's all over the place, right?
Man, he's right. Like, precedent is one of my criteria.
How about Giannis winning it again, Chris, for the third year in a row?
Man, I mean, he started, he had missed too many games, but like Howard said, he's starting to miss games. If they were first in the East, I think he'd probably be the front runner right now. I really do.
Now, you're probably right. You're probably right. And because they're third, right, in the East?
Right.
It takes a little luster because the last couple of years they were first. And he put up great numbers. We talked about it a lot on our show that last year when he won was better. His numbers were better than the year before.
Right.
But he can't say that this year. Like, his numbers aren't better.
And what they've done, and some of this is, I mean, this is smart. Some of this is maybe what LeBron was doing in Cleveland his second go-round. But they've experimented more, you know, defensively, offensively.
Which is what you should do, right?
Right, because they're working through the regular season to see what they want to do for the playoffs. So that's why their record's not as good. But they're probably out. You look at top three, I mean, yeah, Utah, I'm sorry. And look, Chris Webber, Howard brought up that example, Rob. Chris Webber could have won an MVP. Like, he was dominant in Sacramento.
Right.
He was a dominant player. Yeah, he was dominant there. It wouldn't have been a travesty at all for him to win an MVP. I don't put Donovan Mitchell on that level, as great as he is. Not yet. But I don't see an MVP in Utah. People thinking Chris Paul, but you can make an argument that Devin Booker is their MVP. I know they were bad last year with Booker, but remember, they were good in the bubble.
Right.
Now,
they went undefeated in the bubble.
But
Chris, you could look at that and say, to kind of give Chris Paul some juice, but not all of it. Because, you know, yes, he did help that team get to another level, but I think Devin Booker is a big part of that as well. And that's where you split that. Remember, we always talk about that sometimes when you have two good players. Sometimes
Kobe, Shaq, could
split it. And then that takes you out of the running. And I think that's what happens in Phoenix.
Chris could benefit, and this shouldn't be a factor, but we know it is at times. Maybe it could be again, through the process of elimination, maybe it's something some people start thinking lifetime achievement.
No, we're against that.
I won't.
We're against lifetime achievement awards.
But remember when? But Karl Malone, I think, got one that way. Some might argue Kobe's the one he got.
Because he had never won.
Yeah, which obviously you can't have Kobe Bryant not have an MVP. Chris Paul's not Kobe, but it's interesting. I'm with Jokic right now, Rob. I got Jokic right now. Okay. Fourth seed isn't bad. Kawhi's missed. He hadn't missed too many games, but he's missed a good number himself. He's been out, but he's got legit injury, you know, just soreness. So it's crazy, man. And it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But it's been fun, Rob. I'm sure you got a busy day ahead of you. I know I do. And then I'll see you tonight, my man.
All right. Odd Couple tonight.
That's right, Fox Sports Radio. We've enjoyed it. Hopefully you have too. Peace.